The 2024 Hot Stove League broadcast is on the air. Today we'll be discussing all things North Star League baseball. We'll take a look at last season, and we'll preview the upcoming 2024 season. Today's broadcast is being brought to you by DL's Radiator and Exhaust in Buffalo, Played Again Sports in Buffalo, North Star Awards and Trophies, Maple Lake Lumber, Yannick Tire Company in Delano, CNC Embroidery in Waverly, Ameriprise Financial Agent Mike Gagneau, and by Cokato Motor Sales. And now, live from Play It Again Sports in Buffalo, here's the host of our program, Kendall Kubosch.
Hey, welcome to Buffalo. We are at Play It Again Sports. We've got a great crowd on hand. We're going to be talking North Star League Baseball. We're going to be having Corey Koski here and signing autographs. And marvelous. The sun is shining. The grass is green up. Won't be long. And to my right, one of the Mr. Balls that we've got here. Building today, Bookie Larson. Bookie, statistician for the Hall of Fame. How are you, Bookie?
Good. Good. I was kind of hoping. I always like these days because I want to put out a positive vibe. Green grass will be coming. Spring will. We have green grass, and spring is
right around the corner. Have you come down from that big high we were all on last Labor Day?
Oh boy, I tell you, wasn't that something?
It took me a long time to get over, and I walk in the room today, and I see a lot of the guys who played in that game. Managing, like, wow, it was like just yesterday, really, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. You manage your island year before, you know, that I've looked over the Reddles. They're nothing. Well, it took them 21. They finally did win. But then I kind of was hearing the same thing again. They didn't have much respect for our league, I don't.
Well, you got to feel.
Well, he caught it this time, though.
You got to feel a little bit sorry for him, but not very sorry. Just maybe a little bit because they haven't won one yet. But our good friends. Right now, we're going to start out though with the three other gentlemen that got to coach in the tournament last year. Starting to my immediate left here is Herb Cook from Loretto. Check the microphone there once, see if you got a good contact.
Loretto Larks are here.
That sounds good. All right, next to him, Ryan Hayes, one of the managers there. At the Delano A's. Brian, how are you today?
I'm good. Good morning from Delano land.
Wow, and what a great job. We'll talk a little bit more about the job you did. From Hutchinson, the longest, the guy that traveled over the longest today, Mike Cutter, the manager of the Hutchinson Huskies. How are you today?
Doing great. Good morning.
We'll stay with you. Have you got your guys throwing and hitting and stuff already looking at baseball?
Yep. We've been able to do some things inside and actually out outside.
Kind of strange because we've had nice warm weather. The grass is actually starting to green up. Then all of a sudden it's snowy again. Back a step. In fact, I think the ice on here is coming. Here it went up again. But yeah, it's been kind of crazy spring. Ryan, what have you guys got for a workout?
I think we're getting together this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon. Try to look at the forecast. Either get together or... We're kind of coming down off of busy summers. We're going into a pretty slow this year.
Yeah, for sure. No, you guys really really had a big job there. And Loretto Larks, you guys, of course, were the host of the Region Tournament last year. Did a fabulous job there, too. But you only had one time where there could be a duck sling. You guys all made the state tournament by virtue of that tournament, by winning top four spots. Of course, that buys you Delano Minnesota, along with, help me out here, Bookie. Who else had the
Delano Castle killed in Shakopee?
Waconia.
Waconia for that four B's.
Yeah. So, and B's. So right this year now, it was kind of a Highway 12 tournament down the road. And I know we've got some stuff here that went to those state tournaments. I'm just looking for nods of your head, but wasn't that just amazing? A bunch of bands. All those ballparks. Book's going to tell a little story real quick here about the Class A guys, what they thought of our ballpark.
Yeah, they were back by two that have prayed out far enough out. talk to Dassel on base because cities, oh, you know, they're city-run teams, and they come flowers and shut the lights off. They can come out and even play an extra. They're beside them. Fields are really good. I know there was a couple of college players Jake and I talked to, and they said they were out sadly on infield parts with Castle Delano, much better than the AAA minor league field was, and they have paid rounds. Oh, we have Ryan Wright is love.
Pretty much it.
A lot of love and hard work by guys that get to the ballpark 3 hours before anybody else. Feel they work on things and then go out and play a whole ball after. Taking a look at the state tournament bracket from last year where you guys kind of unfortunately went out. We'll start with Hutchinson Huskies. You guys played a very good game, won 2-0 over Fairmont. That was way back on August 9th. Then your next game, you played Hinckley and beat them 8-1. You remember much about those two?
Yeah, I do. I remember the Fairmont game. Kind of a weird game, but very, very good pitching on both sides. Scored one run. That ball hit, skipped off the catcher, went out of play over the backstop. Sack fly later. Well pitched game, good defense both sides. And then Hinckley, we got our offense going a little bit, took advantage of by them. Lasser as well, and advanced past that, but really, two really good games. Kind of ran into a wasn't as much offense at all.
Got beat 1-0.
Yeah.
You just hate to see those 1-0 games. And, you guys hit the cover off the ball all year long, and I'm sure you had people scoring all that game.
Yeah, it was just a great pitcher's duel, and it's never fun coming on the wrong end of those types of games. Tournament is.
That's how it goes. There's only one winner. That's exactly what happens. Taking a look now at Herb Cook's Loretto Larks team, you had a nice win in that first game 8-3 over Luxembourg and came back, lost by 1 to St. Martin. Let's talk about that win, first of all, against Luxembourg.
Maintaining your car's cooling and exhaust system can be easier with DL's radio. And exhaust in Buffalo. Reasonable rates. Check out these prices. Muffler jobs, only $120 for everything but the tax. Dual exhaust jobs for your pickup, only $275. Single exhaust from the cat-back start at $180. Complete radiator repair is available too. DL services all radiators from ATVs to semi-trucks. Most repairs at $85 or less. Give Dave a call for your next appointment at 763-682-4520. 763-682-4520. DL's Radiator and Exhaust. Reasonable and reliable. Located in the Schmidt Electric Building at 109 Highway 55, three buildings west of Arby's in Buffalo.
Spring sports season has arrived, so it's time to stop in to Play It Again Sports Buffalo for all of your sporting goods needs. Whether it's baseball, softball, lacrosse, golf, track, tennis, or pickleball, we have you covered at Play It Again Sports Buffalo. Come visit our knowledgeable staff and we'll help you get fitted for the upcoming season. Play It Again Sports Buffalo, the official sponsor of all those who play.
All right, we are back here at Play It Again Sports with the Hot Stove League broadcast. We were just getting into things with Herb Cook. We're going to have his microphone moved up a little bit more here. So our conversation with Herb. Get it to go there. Forceful. Shelly, you could be forceful. I know you can. There you go. You can lean into it there a little bit, too. And we were just mentioning you lost that game by a final score of 6-5. And, of course, that took you out of the tournament, but you played second game in the tournament. We also got Hutchinson Huskies. Do him already. Let me that one. Okay. I've got my list here. Who's Delano Athletics, the Delano A's. You had a bye in the first round by virtue of winning section, and then you came in and you played Spring Hill Chargers, won that game by a final score of 4-0. That puts you into the next round, where you played the El Rosa Saints. You won that one 6-2. So we're going to talk about those first two games a little bit. Of course, home games, I'm sure you had a monster crowd.
Yeah, I think the official attendance we tweeted out was packed. because you couldn't really move anywhere for those. And they were Friday night, the second and third weekend. And in Spring Hill, they actually beat us out of the tournament in 2021. So there was a kind of bad taste in our mouth from that one. And then ran into El Rosa, and they had a left-handed pitcher who's actually the number one starter for St. Cloud State. So two actually tough games against two solid Stearns County League teams. You always know that they're going to grind out, and they're fun atmosphere, fun games, and that was a couple of wins in front of our home.
For sure. And then you ran into something that, like Hutchinson did, a game where you just couldn't put enough offense together to break through. And also, by the way, Bluffton threw an absolute pitcher at you. You lost that game quarterfinals by a final score of 1. About that one?
Yeah, they that was we had our drafty Avery Leisman out of Litchfield throw a gem for us, and really wasn't a mistake. Just had a guy on second, little bleeder single. They got their run. The kid who threw for them was a drafty from Sabika, and yeah, he shut us down. I can't remember if it was 6th, 7th inning. We had our leadoff guy on, stole second. We were at 2-3-4 in the lineup, and couldn't get that one across. So many sleepless nights.
Yeah.
That couple of
woulda, coulda, shoulda, but they always say good pitching stops good hitting. Unfortunately, that's very much a truism. I'm gonna go down there a little bit. For those of you who didn't notice, the gentleman to my right over here that just came in and took a seat is none other than Corey Koski, Minnesota Twin, former Major League Baseball player, and he's here to meet and greet you. Let's have a hand for Corey. Thank you, Corey, very much for coming out today. We'll visit with you in a little bit, too. But in the meantime, this thing runs, unfortunately, radio and everything else runs on commercials. So we're going to have Dave Larkham, who's doing a fabulous job back at engineering. We're going to have him give us into our second break. Then we'll be back, and we'll talk more baseball here. Played Against Sports in Buffalo.
When it comes to special recognition, North Star Awards and Trophies in Buffalo can create just the right trophy, plaque, ribbon, medal, or personalized gift that fits the occasion. You'll want to talk to Brian Muckenhurn at North Star Awards and Trophies. Phone 763-682-3884. That's 763-682-3884. Or check their website, northstarawards.com. 710 First Avenue Northeast, suite number 4 in Buffalo.
Dreaming of comfortable spaces and happier, healthier living? It's probably time to think about replacing your windows and doors. Not sure where to start? At Maple Lake Lumber, we'll guide you through the entire replacement process. From choosing which expertly crafted, high-performing Marvin windows and doors reflect your home's unique style, to recommending a reputable contractor. We are here to help. Visit our showroom today at Maple Lake Lumber in downtown Maple Lake. Visit MapleLakeLumber.com.
All right. Give you an idea how crowded we are here today, and it's a wonderful problem to have. We've got people that need to move their cars because the parking lot's getting full, but that doesn't mean there isn't spots to park. So if you're listening, come on out. Corey Koski's here. We've got these fabulous baseball players here and coaches. We're going to talk a little bit more with Hutchinson, Delno, and also Loretto before we let them go. Let's look ahead to this year, Herb. You got any retirees? You got any new players? You got anything else going on with your team?
Yeah, we got some movement this year. Kind of unusual, but Nathan Maher is going to retire after 16 years.
Oh, wow.
And Keenan Hodgkin took a job in South Carolina, so he's not going to be available here. Nick Colseth, our shortstop, he's going to play in the cities again. He played. And we got a couple guys who are in the Northwoods League. Josh Koski, Jake Berkland's going to be in the league. So we got a little bit of turnover this year. So all in all, got our original pitching staff will be there last year. I think we'll be okay. We just got a couple spots we have.
That's kind of a problem that you know can happen when you've got good ball players. The wood bat leagues and those things are very appealing to them, and if they're looking to play at another level, they kind of need to go ahead and do that. But it hurts the small town hometown people that are counting on them too.
Yeah, sure.
Looking down at Ryan, your team, of course, fabulous team last year, ended up with a tough loss in the state tournament. What's your team look like this year? Changes?
I think we'll pretty much have everybody back except Hunter Hart, and Hunter didn't play with us in 2022, came back last year, and then retired for a second time. Other than that, we'll should have most of our group back, our staff back with Max Otto and Austin Schneider that led staff. Got a couple of young guys that they know we expect a little bit more out of them. We got a young kid who plays, he's on the Gopher roster right now, outfielder. Make sure we're paying time. I got a young guy up in Duluth, too, that's a starter for them, UMD, and kind of expect them to turn the page and come into the season ready to go and help us out a little bit more. Other than that, yeah, we got everybody back.
Yeah, and I don't know how many times we will go around because we do have a lot of other things we get to, but I do want to thank you again and the whole squad over there at Delano for the fantastic job you did putting on the tournament, not only there but also in the state. But tell us a little bit how that works. How many volunteers did you have? Did you ever figure out how many hours or how those things are going to play out?
It's about a three-year project, and Jordan Flick was our rep out of Dassel and John Anderson out of Litchfield. And we've become really close friends because there wasn't too many days in about a two-year span we weren't talking to each other about something regarding to the state tournament.
For sure.
And guys like Adam Yannick from Delano, you know, and Cole Flick, they probably thousands of hours the last couple of years just to get everything ready. The number of volunteers between the three sites, you're probably flirting with 300-500. I mean, just every little thing, doing burgers, frying food, tickets, parking, umpires, attendance. I mean, just too high for me to count with my Delano education.
Well, and one number that they did count for you is 28,007. Now, they weren't all at Delano. They were between the three sites. But you need to go back into the 50s. 53, correct?
Yeah.
1953, New Ulm had 31,031 people. 1953, not everybody had a television set. There were no Minnesota Twins. There was a lot of other things that are available now to distract people. So if you considered 28,000 last year, that as far as I'm concerned, that's the modern record. Because that's a whole different situation.
So you look at that was the high point of town team baseball. The fact that our attendance reaching really quite amazing. Fox 9 helping out on that. You know, they've helped them, but I think the pandemic did some help too on that.
Yeah.
And kept the people home. They found out they had a diamond in the backyard.
Well, and not to wave our own flag, but I do think that, you know, we do try really hard at KWC to put on a really exciting full season. We're going to be doing another 22 games this year. Last year, Delano hosted the All-Star Game. This year, the North Star League has been invited down by the Crow River Valley League to play in Waconia. We will be there for that game also. Should be a tremendous amount of fun. Bookie, we've got the tournament this year. The Region 12 tournament is
at
Dassel, so we'll be out at CC Park out there to do that. So KWC will be your home for the North Stars, so be sure and listen to that. So, all right, what we're going to do, Dave, let's go ahead, just take one more break here, and then we're going to switch up a little bit. I'll get Corey Koski up here to visit with me a little bit. And then the last but not least, certainly not least, we'll have the state champion Maple Lake Lakers up here. We'll talk to them as we go towards the end of the hour. So let's have a hand for these three gentlemen up here. We'll be back after this.
Now for a limited time, get a Hankook Grand Slam rebate when you purchase a set of four select Hankook tires. Go to HankookRebates.com and fill out the information after your purchase. It's your claim to your Hankook prepaid MasterCard. Offer ends July 7th, 2024. Claims must be submitted within 60 days of purchase. See site for full details and call or stop in to Yannick Tire in Delano and get in on the Hankook Grand Slam rebate. Call 763-972-6130 or stop into the shop located south of Delano Rental.
When you need custom embroidery services, see Carol Hainer at CNC Embroidery in Waverly. At CNC, they can add a graphic or name to your clothing. Or ask them about their specially priced line of shirts, jackets, or caps that they can embroider for you. From your favorite team clothing to personalized shirts or caps, CNC can create it for you. Talk with Carol Hainer at CNC Embroidery in Waverly. Phone her today at 763-658-4673. That's CNC Embroidery Services in Waverly.
Okay, we are back. Corey Koski is standing to my right. He's getting a picture taken. We're going to have Corey come up here
and put on the headphones, and we'll have a chance to talk with him as he's coming up here. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so, so much for coming out today to be with us, and always great to have you here. And how has your winter been?
Good, thanks. Been warm.
Been warm?
Yeah.
Did you have an opportunity to go south or do something a little different? Or
we went to Italy for spring break.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
That was fun.
That's nice. What cities? What part of Italy?
We went to Venice, Florence, and Rome.
Rome. Yeah. I spent some time there in the 70s, late 70s. I was up in the Milan area. So
I think it's probably changed since.
I think it probably has, yeah. So for sure. But talk a little bit about your career in baseball. You're from Enola, Canada. Maybe you're surprised I remember that, but I do remember that. You grew up there. And you were invited to college on a volleyball scholarship, is that correct?
Well, before that, I actually had a hockey scholarship.
And a hockey scholarship?
Yeah, I had an offer to go to UMD to play hockey, and the reason I didn't go there was because I didn't write my SAT. In Canada, I had the plan to go to my first year of college, University of Manitoba, and out of the blue, their goalie just signed with the Devils, and they called me in August and wanted me to come down there.
So you were a goaltender?
I was a goalie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you did end up going where for school?
I went to Boone, Iowa the following year. I thought I would get another offer to play college hockey. I didn't get an offer, so I decided to go play volleyball at the University of Manitoba. And then out of the blue, a coach from Boone, Iowa started calling me every day to come down and play baseball.
Okay.
Hi, this is John Smith from Boone, Iowa.
Boone, Iowa.
And he called me every day.
Wow.
Literally called every day until he talked me into coming to Boone, Iowa to play baseball.
So now, did you have anything back at home that was at all similar to like the North Star League or amateur baseball? What kind of baseball?
Yeah, we had senior baseball, and that was kind of thing. In Manitoba, it was very community-based.
Yeah.
I played junior baseball for the Elmwood Giants. I played midget baseball for the Elmwood Giants, junior baseball for Elmwood Giants, and that went up to 21. And then after that, there was senior baseball.
Okay.
And that's the same type of thing here. We didn't quite get the fan base that they do down here, but I played a little bit of senior baseball when I was 14, 15.
Yeah, well, and I also think there's a lot of leagues in Minnesota that don't get the following, and there's other states that they look at Minnesota and say, what's that? They don't even have any. So then it was down to Boone, Iowa, and then you were playing baseball.
Yep.
And what positions did you play down in Boone?
I was third base. So I played shortstop all through my youth, and then they moved me to third base when I went to Boone.
Okay. And you played there for how many years?
I played for a year, then I went to Vancouver and played it at the Canadian National Baseball Institute. Those out of there where I got drafted.
Okay, and who drafted you initially?
Twins.
Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, so I was Twins, and so my decision was to play for Team Canada or go play, start to play minor league baseball. So my first, so I ended up signing for, I think it was like $3,200 American, which at the time was probably about 27,000 Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
And I ended up going down to Elizabeth in Tennessee to play baseball. Talk about a culture shock.
Yeah.
Going from a little farming community down to Elizabeth in Tennessee, where I think they filmed the movie Deliverance.
Maybe.
Has anybody seen that?
It could be. Now, you were down there, and what was that? Was that A, AA, AAA?
That's what they call short season A.
Short season.
And so a lot of guys that I got, out of college, I was kind of the first. It was a short season. So I think it started. It took me a little bit to get down there because I needed a work visa. And when they finally got my work visa figured out, then I went down there. And so I was down there a little bit late.
Okay. And then you had some coaches, managers that maybe also eventually moved up or did something. And you had, obviously, players that you played with. Name some names of somebody that you played with through that and maybe a little bit later in your minor league career.
What's interesting as you go from high school, the funnel gets tighter and tighter. So you go to high school, the college, to professional, it starts to go. And then it doesn't stop when you start from A-ball, AA, AAA. There was one guy I think I played with in Elizabethan that ended up playing in the big leagues.
Okay.
And so, it's just the funnel gets pretty steep pretty quick because the thing that's interesting to me is there's guys that I played with in the minor leagues that were much better than big league players. Like, I played with guys who were better than Ken Griffey Jr. from a skill standpoint in the minor leagues, and they just couldn't crack it. So it kind of talks about the whole picture of, it's one thing to have the physical skill, but you have to have the mental ability and the tenacity and the resilience and the discipline to be able to kind of get it to the next level.
And how did those next levels work for you from Boone, Iowa, or Louisiana, wherever it was?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. And how did the next, was it AAA, AA, how did you move up through that?
So I played a year at every level. You know, I remember the first spring training that I went to was somewhat overwhelming because I played a short season A, and I struggled. I hit like a 120. And going into my first camp, it was 94, it was the year of the strike. And it was overwhelming because if you can imagine a clubhouse the size of basically here on the plate against the sports, and there was probably 200 guys in there. And from all nationalities, Dominican, Venezuelan, from Mexico, from Japan, from Australia, it's like, okay, where do I fit into this? And I was bad. I still had my glove. I probably, I had my glove from Canadian Tire that I had that my dad bought me when I was probably about 14 years old. And so it was more of a softball glove. And I had a lot of difficulty catching the ball, but I could hit a little bit. And just going there and seeing how good these guys are was really overwhelming for me. And I just remember going back to my hotel that room that night, and I was like, what am I doing here? Because these guys are a lot better than me. I just really started playing baseball when I was 18, probably when I was 18 years old, and that's when I really first started playing baseball. And these guys have been playing baseball their whole life. And I just remember looking in the mirror and saying to myself, well, I can't control this. My goal every day is just get a little bit better. I just want to get a little bit better every day. And if I don't make it, and I don't want to do anything that I don't want to, because I don't want to be sitting at the bar in Delano talking about literally all the stuff I should have done or I could have, what I right. could have did. And so I ended up saying, I just want to get a little better every day, and then let's see what happens. Because if I'm not good enough, I can handle that. And if that just wasn't in God's plan, it is what it is. But I want to do whatever it takes and just try to get a little bit every day.
Well, I would think those scouts and coaches looking at you, there's not a lot of relationship between competitive volleyball and baseball, but yet it means that you're an athlete. It's got good control of your body to do things like that. Did you have somebody in particular or a number of people that maybe just tweaked with your swing a little bit or helped with something else that started to propel you up that ladder?
Well, as you look back, the reality of it, life is about opportunities, and it's what you do with the opportunities, and you have to be open to finding the opportunities. And sometimes now in the world, now that we're so focused on our phones, we actually miss the opportunities that are in front of us. And my first opportunity came when I got hurt. So when I told you that I had that bad glove, well, catching a ball, I bruised my hand.
Wow.
And so I had to go into the training room, and there was two buses. There was a bus at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was a bus at 8:30 in the morning. So I would go to the bus at 8:30, but then I would try to get in the cage, but that's when everybody else was in the cage. So that's when your top round draft picks would go, and all your big shots would be in the cage, and all the coaches would work with them. And I couldn't get any swings in the cage at that time.
Wow.
When I got hurt, I had to get on the 7 o'clock bus. And when I got on the 7 o'clock bus, you realize there's nobody in the cage. And so I had to go on the bus for about a week and a half. But I noticed a coach sitting there, and you just sit there. Every day I'd get off the bus, there'd be a coach sitting there, and then I would come back and do my stuff, and a coach would be sitting there. So I'd start to go in the cage, and I'd hit it in a different cage by myself. And after about a week of that, because after I got better, I stayed on the 7 o'clock bus because that was the only time that I could get in the cage. And over the course of probably about 5 days, the coach kind of came over. He goes, do you want me to work with you? And I'm like, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And so that guy ended up being Jim Dwyer, who was a head minor league hitting coach at the time. And that was the first time he taught me about the timing of a swing. So I showed up every morning, and I had personal hitting lessons from Jim Dwyer, who was the head of the – and the thing with it is if I never got hurt and didn't see that opportunity and didn't recognize and kind of execute on that opportunity, it would have been a completely different story. But as I go further on in my life, I look at all these different opportunities that I was open to – that. From that, I learned to be open to it and trying to find the opportunities and kind of going into it and kind of executing on it.
To follow up with that,
so, when I finally got to the big leagues, I was not a good defender. And I struggled defensively, and I knew I needed to work on defensively. PK didn't throw me out there at all. I hit every 4 days. I faced every other team's number one guy as a DH when Marty Cordova wanted a day off. And, there's a lot of chatter saying, why doesn't Corey play more? And, you know, I could have went down that road and been kind of bitter, thinking, yeah, I should play more because I'm leading the team in every offensive category. But I looked at it saying, you know what, there's probably a reason I'm not playing. So I need to figure out that reason. And my reason I'm not playing is because of my defense. So I need to figure out and I need to find a way to be better defensively. And, you know, I asked Guardy to come and take some ground balls with me, and he went some place, took some ground balls with me. And during that time, he said to me, kind of tied to your athletic comment, is I'm trying to do everything like all the baseball players are doing, right, left, split, do all this stuff, and I just couldn't catch a ball. And Guardy got so frustrated with me, he stopped the drill, and he came up to me, he goes, weren't you some all-Canadian volleyball player? I was like, well, yeah, I played volleyball. He's like, yeah, you're a really good volleyball player. Like, weren't you a goalie? And I was like, yeah, I was a goalie. He goes, well, you're an athlete. Be an athlete. Because I don't care what you look like. As long as you catch this white thing and throw it over there before the guy that hit it to you gets there, that's all that matters. I'm like, really? That's all you want me to do is throw the ball over there before he gets there? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And so I took off my hat, threw it over there. A guardie gave me his hat. I threw it over there, and I said, okay, try to score on me. And we went and did that every day. He would try to score, and from there, I became a better defender. And just by working on that and just allowing my athleticism to play on and quit trying to be like everybody else.
Amazing. That's a great story. Now, the one last piece of the puzzle, tell us how and when and where you were when you got the call up to the majors.
I was in Salt Lake City. I got the call, and they were in Anaheim. And I remember that I was really excited because in the minor leagues, you make no money. And so I called my wife and I said, I'm going to Anaheim. I got called to the biggest. I knew that it was coming because I had a really good year at AAA. And so I was excited. So I went and took out $80 out of my bank account. And so, you know, we had like $120 in our bank. So I took $80 in the bank account. I'm like, I'm going to the big leagues. I didn't take, you know, I'm going to be big money here. I got $80 now. And we went, to Orange County. We take a cab, so there's me and Chris Latham. We take a cab, get to the hotel, and the cab was literally $78.
Oh, boy. Left you with $2.
And, yeah, well, but I got Latham here with me. Okay. So he said, hey, we're going to split this. He's like, I don't got any money. I'm like, dude, I got $80. and so I gave the guy my $80, and he was ticked.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a tip. He goes, what, you didn't like my service? I'm like, dude, that's all the money I have. And now I'm stressed out because I'm like, okay, I'm here for another, you know, we're there for another 3 days. I have no money. Like, how am I going to eat?
Right.
Because literally we had $20 left in our bank account. My wife, fiance at the time, Shannon, is like in Salt Lake City. And I'm like, what are we going to do? So there was a moment of this straight panic because I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to live. I'm going to eat and try to figure this thing out. And then Ramsey came with an envelope of meal money. And for like the 3 days, it was like $572 or something like that. And I looked at it, I didn't know what to do with it because I'm like, I'm going to eat.
Yes. No, you're per diem. I know baseball players get a pretty good stipend for doing that. So do you remember your first game?
Yeah, so we went there. It was the day that Mark McGwire broke the record. So as I was walking off the field Anaheim Stadium, I was watching Mark McGwire hit his 63rd home run. And so that was pretty exciting.
Wow. A great career. You hit a lot of home runs. You ended your career, unfortunately, with an injury. You've recovered from that. Now you're playing with the Loretto Larks, and you're playing with your sons. Now, we just heard that one of them won't be there with you. Will there be three Koskis on the field at one time this year?
Well, I don't know. So Bradley's, he's an investment bank now, so he's working downtown at Piper Sandler, so they grind him out pretty good. So we'll see how much he gets out there. Caleb is going to Indiana to play baseball, and so he's leaving in June.
Yeah.
And Samuel's a little young yet, so I got to figure out a way to play a couple more years so I can play with him. And so it was, that's one thing I a little bit disappointed in myself. I should have did this a little bit earlier. But the thing that I don't know if it was really tough because here's the reality of it. I'm a tenth of what I used to be. And to go out there and put yourself in that position and doing something that I did for 15 years and 10 at the highest level and to be not even as close as good as you were, and dealing with these college kids popping off to you because they either struck you out and the intensity of an at-bat, and you're like, oh, my gosh, dude, you're throwing 82 miles an hour, and I can't catch up to you right now. And it's really frustrating, and kind of dealing with the kind of the prideful part about that. And that's what kind of held me back initially, because my oldest son, Bradley, wanted me to play for, you know, since I retired. And I was like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. So when Joshua started to play, I was at, Joe had an event in which, so Joe Maurer had an event.
Calls him Joe, just to let you know.
Yeah.
Joe.
So
Hall of Fame member.
Yeah. So we were at his house, and the clubhouse guy, Rod McCormick, needed a ride home. And so we're on St. Paul, and I drove Rod home, and I was talking about, Joshua's playing now, and, you know, Caleb's getting aged, and he's kind of playing. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to play. It's just, and Rod goes, why not? I said, well, this and that, you know, I kind of gave him all the excuses. Well, I said, Rod, like, I can't play like I did, and it's going to be embarrassing. I'm going to embarrass myself. And he goes, dude, suck it up, get past yourself, and play with your kids, because this is something that you're going to be able to remember, and something that they're going to be able to remember kind of the rest of their life. And I'm like, you know what? He's right.
Well said.
And that's what pushed me to say, you know what? I'm going to play. Well, it's something.
I remember you in the Twins uniform. I remember watching you hit. Anybody in this room that has seen him play in pound team baseball, raise your hand. Okay. If you're not raising your hand right now, get over to Loretto and go and watch him play baseball and his sons play baseball. He still has this butter-smooth left-handed swing.
Yeah.
He gets up to the plate. He does the same routine with the bat that he did in the major leagues. You'll think you're in a time warp looking at Corey Koski back when he was with
him. Until you see me run.
Well, running is another story, but I'm kind of with you there. I think you and I in a foot race, you'd probably beat me yet. So.
Well, I don't know if that's saying much. I don't know if that's
Thanks a lot, Corey. I thought we were friends. No, we absolutely are. I'll tell you, I met him a number of years ago. He's a very, very, just like you see him. This is the man you'll meet in the dugout. This is the man you'll meet on the street. He's a great guy, a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that he's playing baseball, that all of us could go for the mere price of like $5 and go watch him play and talk to him after the game. Let's give Corey a big hand. We're going to take one more break, and then we'll have Maple Lake up here. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Do you have the right financial advisor to help you reach your goals? Ameriprise Advisors can provide personal goal-based advice to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Call Ameriprise Gagneau and Bogalke advisor Mike Gagneau, Troy Bogalke, Luke Gagneau, Andy Gagneau, and Sam Kiddock today at 763-271-PLAN. That's 763-271-PLAN. Office is located in Monticello and Waverly. Ameriprise Financial cannot guarantee future financial results. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. You hear it all the time. Big sale this week only. The boss says we have to clear them out. And on and on and on. Let's get serious, folks. When you're looking for a vehicle, Cokato Motor Sales says, shop around. When you think you've got the best deal, come and talk with them. Cokato Motors might not be the biggest dealership, but they are big on giving you the best deal and the best service. So when you're in the market for a new or late model car or truck, give them a try. Cokato Motor Sales, your Chevrolet dealer. Call 1-888-485-4807 or take a look at the website, CokatoMotorsales.com.
Well, everybody, hey, we're back, and we've got the state championship team with us right now, sitting with me from Maple Lake, Minnesota. Closest to me is Matt Bergstrom. We've got Hunter Malachek next. Over on this side, I've got the manager, Riley Decker, and on the other end down there is Donnie Mavenkamp. These guys all contributed last year to bringing that trophy right there. That's the actual trophy that they won last year over in Delano, Minnesota. And I got to tell you, just seeing you guys here again today, it kind of gives me goosebumps. Let's start with the manager here. I'm sure you weren't surprised at all when your team won the state tournament last year.
I think everyone was a little bit surprised.
You have any fun doing it?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Now, you and you have a co-manager that you work with also, and why am I dropping his
name? Casey Pack.
Casey Pack. I say these names a million times, and then I can't remember them. But between you and Casey, and I think I'm going to give a little credit to some of the guys sitting here, too, because everybody has a little input. You sewed together a fabric from a bunch of pieces of cloth and it ended up being amazing. First of all, what inspired you to draft that kid from Rockford?
He's a relative to a few guys on the team.
Okay, that, there you go.
Had kind of an inside scoop.
Okay, so you knew a little bit about him, and I know that Matt caught him a few times before he came and played with you. Matt, he had a little stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, he can throw hard.
He can throw hard, and he had good location, and that was really great. You also had Jordan Flick. Jordan Flick contributed. I mean, everybody you had on the team, everybody contributed.
Yeah, that was kind of our plan going into the draft. We did some righties. We have a lot of lefties on our team. We needed righties. We needed a reliever. We needed Riley Grunhagen. He was kind of a off-speed guy, kind of a thumber. So,
a thumber. I don't think I've ever heard that exact phrase before. Let's take a look at how you guys got to where you went. You start out the first game of the year, of the tournament, rather, playing the Bulldogs, Union Hill Bulldogs, and you almost didn't get out of that game. That took 11 innings.
Yes, we were up 8-0, I believe. They scored four, cut it to 8-4. And they, I think it was the seventh or eighth, they scored four more, and all of a sudden it was tied. They had two chances with the bases loaded in the ninth and the tenth inning, nobody out.
Wow.
And we somehow got out of it. We pulled both innings, we pulled five infielders. We were playing with two outfielders, five infielders, and it paid off.
Wow. That final on that one was 12 to 8 in 11 innings. Then you went and played the Cortland Cubs. Now, they were seeded out of Section 2. You beat them by a final score of 8-4. How did that game
go? That was another back and forth. I think we got out to a lead 4-0, 2-0, something like that. And then they ended up taking the lead 5-4. And then I think Hunter Malachek put one over the right field fence and never looked back after that.
Then you had a game that was another close one, Sartell. And by the way, some of these names, Cortland, of course, Union Hill, these guys are annually in the state tournament. They always show up. And you played Sartell and beat them by a final score of 3-1. That game was in Delno. That set you up then for the semifinals after that. Remember that Sartell game?
I believe Hunter pitched that one, and he was on. Didn't have much to worry about in that game, really. It was Hunter, I think he went all nine, and there really wasn't many people on base till that ninth inning, I think, when they finally got their one run. But that was a gem by Hunter Malachek there.
And then a shutout against a team that, again, is another every year they seem like they get there, and they're a tough team, good hitting team, and you beat them 3-0 in the shutout. Who's the pitcher in that one?
Jordan Flick went all nine that inning, or that game. Our offense, you can go over to Donnie Mavenkamp. He can talk about that, how we scored there.
How did we score, Donnie?
Oh, I just left one over the plate for him. Be able to get a barrel on up the field, and basically as soon as I saw him kind of fall down right by the fence, I was like, boy, run further than I have in a while here.
Right.
Yeah, just split in the third, ball got away, and I was able to run home and get a
one swing of the bat.
Yeah, I believe that was that the eighth inning, I believe? Bottom of the eighth. It was late in the game, so 0-0 into the eighth.
So that was the game that put you then into the finals. Now, for those of you out in the audience and listening at home that don't realize what happens with this tournament, first of all, the season is kind of easy pace. They play some Wednesday games, Friday games, some Sunday games. Then they get into the regional tournament, and then they get where they're playing some doubleheaders and maybe even three games in one day. To get to the state tournament, you got a couple weekends, but that final weekend, and that's what we get into here at the finals, it's, what, four games in 3 days, basically, when you get to that point. So you've got to have pitching. You got to have your mental attitude set up. So you go in and you play the Bluffton Braves. Bluffton is another team that plays really tough. Beat them by a final score of 8-6 in that game. That was the second game that day that you played. The second game that you played that day. That set you up for the finals. Talk about that game if you remember much about Bluffton.
That was another game. I believe we jumped out and got up 6-2. Hunter might be able to remember this one better.
Hunter?
Flap hit a 3-run bomb to make 6-2, and Bluffton gets bases loaded. I give up a grand slam
first pitch.
And then we get three outs or two right away the next.
Yeah. And wow, so you give up a grand slam, you still end up getting the win. That's kind of a nice thing to have. If you got a good team around you, that can happen.
Giving up.
Thank God. Okay, so that set us up for the championship game, and it also sets up us for the last break. we're going to take today. We're going to go back to Dave Larkham at the studio. He's going to give us a couple words from our wonderful sponsors, including Play It Against Sports. And I'm going to have this audience right here. Let's give Jeremy Mathwick a hand for hosting this event today. Jeremy, that's it for you. That's for you. This applause is for you. So he's back there. He's got some customers, and I'm going to encourage everybody in here. We're going to have a drawing. If you haven't come yet, there's still time to come. We're going to be giving away some Twins tickets, some Wild tickets. The drawing will be right after the broadcast finishes, and you do need to be in attendance to get that prize. So come on up to Kenny at, but otherwise, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll be back, and we'll talk about the state championship game right after this.
Maintaining your car's cooling and exhaust system can be easier with DL's Radiator and Exhaust in Buffalo. Reasonable rates. Check out these prices. Muffler jobs, only $120 for everything but the tax. Dual exhaust jobs for your pickup, only $275. Single exhaust from the cat-back start at $180. Complete radiator repair is available too. DL services all radiators from ATVs to semi-trucks. Most repairs at $85 or less. Give Dave a call for your next appointment at 763-682-4520. 763-682-4520. DL's Radiator and Exhaust. Reasonable and reliable. Located in the Schmidt Electric Building at 109 Highway 55, three buildings west of Arby's in Buffalo.
Spring sports season has arrived, so it's time to stop in to Play It Against Sports Buffalo for all of your sporting goods needs. Whether it's baseball, softball, lacrosse, golf, track, tennis, or pickleball, we have you covered at Play It Against Sports Buffalo. Come visit our knowledgeable staff and we'll help you get fitted for the upcoming season. Play It Against Sports Buffalo, the official sponsor of all those who play.
All right, we are back. That championship game took place on Labor Day. The final score and that one was 6-4. Before we talk specifically about that game, it was 6 runs on 8 hits and 2 errors. Rhode Island with 4 runs on 10 hits and 2 errors, so they actually out-hit. Both teams had draftees. Of course, in the state title game, Aiden Smith from Rockford ended up being the winning pitcher. He went 6 1/3 innings, gave up 6 hits, 2 runs allowed, 3 strikeouts, 3 walks, and 1 hit batter. And he didn't overwhelm people with striking them out, but he was throwing pitches that got a lot of ground balls, and that helped quite a bit. Jordan Flick pitched 2.2 innings, gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 earned, 2 strikeouts, and he had 1 wild pitch in that game. Maple Lake, you guys, did you realize this? I didn't realize it until I read it today. You had no extra base hit in that championship game. You had no doubles, triples,
or singled them to death.
You singled them to death. One little bit. Rhode Island only had a couple of doubles. Then we talk about one of the players in the room here, Hunter Malachek, led the Lakers with 3 hits just in the championship game and an RBI. Ben Clapp also added 2 hits and RBI. And Donnie Mavenkamp here with 2 RBIs with a hit. The Fred Roofs Award went to Hunter Malachek, being the hitter. He hit .608. Hunter's sitting right here, and he hit .608 in that game. The most outstanding pitcher went to a player from the Jordan Brewers. The Max Bat Silver Slugger Award went to Ben Clapp. Ben couldn't be with us today. He hit .625, and he hit .645 with men on base. He had 15 hits, 9 RBIs. He scored 8 runs. He had 2 walks. He was hit by a pitch 3 times. He likes to get hit by a pitch. He stands right in there, doesn't he? He had 1 home run and 4 doubles. This was in the tournament, not in the championship game. And we didn't talk about it before, and Mike Cutter was up here. I don't know if Mike, yeah, Mike is still here. Mike Cutter's team was awarded the J.M. Brennan Sportsmanship Award. Mike, was that anything in particular? Did you give CPR to a baby or anything that got you that award? Or okay, well, they got the award for that. So a lot of good things came out of the North Star League. Now let's talk about the game itself. I've got the score sheet here from that game, and I don't remember. I've done a lot of baseball, a lot of hockey, a lot of different sports. I don't remember a lot of things, but I'll remember this game for a long time. My heart was beating 100 miles an hour, and it was in my throat most of the time because it was every time you guys would get a little bit of a step up, they'd come back and do something. And then you had guys in scoring position and couldn't quite score them. Now, did you steal home in that championship game, or was that in a separate game coming up into that? You had to steal it home. Hunter, I think you stole home.
That was a suicide squeeze.
A suicide squeeze.
Squeeze play.
Okay, it was a squeeze play. So some exciting plays and stuff thrown in there. Bird Island got a run in the third, got 1 more in the seventh, and then a fantastic out with one of the great plays I'll remember for a long time, forever. I love defense. If you listen to me on the radio, you'll hear me talk about the fact that a 3-run home run is exciting. You know, there's a lot of things that are very exciting, but defense is great. Now, Hunter, you had 2 plays kind of back-to-back in center field one of them was not called an out, and you told me afterwards you caught that ball.
No, I look back at the video, and honestly, I think it, the ground just bounced perfectly, and like, I scooped it.
You caught it that day.
You have that adrenaline. You're going to try to play it off. I misread it, too. I should have caught the ball, but it got away from me. But then, luckily, the next one.
So, of course, I was a long, long way away from that. I couldn't tell the difference. I know from your expression you thought you caught it. Umpire said it was a hit. But then, I don't know if it was a pitch or two or five later, there was a ball hit to you just about up against the ivy. Describe that play.
Well, I think any other day that actually might be over the fence, but luckily the wind was blowing in. And because of that, the wind blown it in front of me so I could get behind momentum. I mean, I was shocked when he started running the third. I mean, the wind, with the wind helping, and then the scenario they're in, they're scoring a lot of runs. That innings, I can't believe they took the risk to third. I just happened to.
So the runner was going to third base. Hunter made the catch just about at the ivy, right in front of like the whatever it is out there, 385 sign or whatever it is, and threw an absolute strike to Ben Clapp at third base. And it was close, but it wasn't all that close. I could tell as the ball was coming that he was going to be out. And, of course, the crowd erupts, you know, the Maple Lake had about half the fans in the stand, I think, that day.
It was right in front of our fans.
It was right in front of the fans, and it was a great play, and that was, as far as I'm concerned, the sealer. That sealed the chance that you were going to not lose that game under any
circumstances. Yeah, I think that took away a lot of momentum to get.
That was a great play. Behind the plate, a lot of great plays at home, and like I said to you before, about the fact that you have, Riley, you have more than one manager on your team. You got a bunch of them. And I think, I don't know that anybody calls any pitches any better than Matt Bergstrom.
Thanks.
Okay, one word answer.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would say, like you said, the championship game was kind of like the whole tournament for us. We get up, we be down. But we, and that's like the guys, they just got hot at the right time. We didn't have the greatest regular season, but we got some guys that can play here, and they can run, and they can do everything, you know, when they get the opportunity, and they showed it off that final weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at who we beat, Sartell, Jordan, both state champs, Bird Island, I think, made a final. These are good teams, really good teams, and we were cruising. You could just kind of feel it. The guys were, you know, you never know if you're going to win, but it was fun to be a part of, and I got the best seat in the house.
You do. You and the umpire have the best seats in the house, and you usually make a better call than the umpire does. We were going to have an umpire here today, and I don't know, I think he heard you guys were all going to show up, and he decided not to come. But and Corey had mentioned how things kind of come together in your life. I think if you took the same, whatever it is here, 50, 60 teams that are in it to start with, and you shook them all out again, and you played again, you guys might have lost the first round. Delano might have won it in a landslide, or any other name on here could win it. You've got to put together whatever that is, 8 games, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. You've got to put 7 games together where things just fall into place.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's how you're playing then.
Yeah.
It's not about June.
Yeah.
It's August.
Now, Donnie, is this your first state tournament, or were you involved with the one 10 years ago?
I was not involved with last week.
Well, and I think, again, hats off to Delano for Ryan Hayes and the crew there for putting a product together. All you guys had to do was supply the talent. They had everything else there. And when I looked around, they have a brand new, which is a wonderful press facility. I'm away from the back of the grandstand. I've got a nice view of everything. And to hear the chatter of people about what they were talking about Maple Lake, about they were talking about the North Star League, was really pretty impressive. So I know there's some things in the work. I hope they don't break something that's not fixed, but I hope they keep the format the way it's been for all these years, because Maple Lake, Hutchinson, or Howard Lake, Delano, you don't get those kind of draws, and not to put down anybody else locally, but I did a game with Monticello a couple years ago. There are more people in this room right now than were at that state tournament baseball game.
Right.
So when you guys, you fill up Maple Lake, pretty regularly when there's nice weather or when there's a big game on the line. So how about you? I'll ask you the same question. Any changes? You're going to break up the Yankees here for next year, or you're going to bring the same bunch back?
As far as I know, everyone's coming back for one more year. Probably just going to add a couple younger guys, high school guys that are going to join the squad. So everyone else, I believe, will be coming back.
Very good. Yeah, you've got to integrate things a little bit. One last question as we're running near the end here. Hunter, they're talking about some of the Twins players and different people that have had or are having Tommy John. Now, you're what, 4 years off of Tommy John or three?
It'll be four. It'll
be 4 years. And are you feeling like your arm is any more fatigued in the course of a year or in the course of a game? Or?
I mean, after surgery, I started focusing on getting my arm ready. Taking better care of my body and my arm. So these days, my arms are not.
So we just, everybody's getting older, and you won't, as everybody up here will tell you, I think everybody up here, well, Matt's older than everybody, but they'll tell you the recovery time gets to be a little bit longer, and the twists or the turns get to be a little more severe, even though they're not when they happen. So we've got just a very short period of time here yet. Jeremy Mathwick, if you're here yet, I'd like to have you come up and just jump on mic with me for half a minute. And I'll mention again, we've got a 22-game schedule coming up again with the North Star League. We're going to be doing that All-Star game down at Waconia, and we're looking forward to doing that. Matt?
Quick, I'd just like to thank you for what you do. And all the teams, I think everyone knows Delano and Hutch are really good teams. And I hope the North Star League can continue to do, you know, and make a good showing. It's not just about the Lakers.
Well, I talk about it with when I go to the league meetings once in a while, too. What a great product that all of you put on the field. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that you don't take anybody for granted, but maybe the fans do, that are only one or two players away from making a move, so it can happen anytime. Before we break, Jeremy Mathwick, thank you again for hosting this.
Yeah, thanks. Well, thank you for setting this all up. And like you said, we appreciate all you do for this. I feel like Christmas is next week. I've never seen this many people in the store outside of a holiday.
This is great.
And there's no snow outside, so it's just like Christmas.
And they're all here to see Donnie Mavencamp. Nobody came to see Corey Crosby. But any specials, any sales? You got baseball stuff available right now?
We've got baseball stuff. All of our baseball stuff should be in by now. This year was a little bit tougher because we typically have it shipped in around the middle of March. And, of course, with the weather in February, people are already coming in. But we've got pickleball paddles. We've got our disc golf stuff all filled up to the tee. But, yeah, baseball season is here, and we got bats, gloves, helmets, balls, whatever you need.
Bring stuff in?
Please do, yes. We need plenty of used stuff. And so it's going to be the best way for you to get the best price. You know, bring your old equipment in, trade it into us. It's like having a coupon right in your garage.
There you go. Exactly. It's about over, folks. We're going to have the drawing in just a few minutes. Before we take off here, I want to thank Herb Cook from the Loretto Larks, Ryan Hayes from the Delano A's, standing in the back of the room there yet, Mike Cutter from the Hutchinson Husky team, all the guys that I've got up here with me. We've got Matt Burks from Riley Decker, Hunter Malachek, and Donnie Mavencamp. And, of course, one more time, a big thanks to our host for having us in here, making room and making time to have us here. And thanks to the great audience that we've got. Thanks, everybody. Go to North Star League Baseball. It's the best show in town. Thanks, everybody.
The 2024 Hot Stove League Show has been brought to you by DL's Radiator and Exhaust in Buffalo, Played Again Sports in Buffalo, North Star Awards and Trophies, Maple Lake Lumber, Yannick Tire Company in Delano, CNC Embroidery in Waverly, Ameriprise Financial Agent Mike Gagneau, and by Cokato Motor Sales. Thank you for tuning in to today's program. This has been a production of KRWC Radio Sports.